This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Here is your ESPN Radio 3-day forecast. Unfortunately, the news has not gotten any better in the last hour. It's still snowing. Snow until 7 a.m. tomorrow, with the heaviest bands coming through in about half an hour as it gets dark as well. Tomorrow, a high of 28 and a low of negative 2, but no more snow. But it's not going anywhere, because Friday the high is 14 and the low is negative 5. Best chance for the snow to actually melt is probably Sunday, when it's a high of 40 and sunny. And Monday is also a high of 40 and sunny. But for now, snow, so drive safely. Definitely, if you're on the interstate, someone texted in that there was a slide off on there. So if you're on I-74 or 57 heading home, be careful. As the snow continues into the evening, ESPN. Do you want to hear that intro again or no? It's kind of sad. Let's just hit the drive time button. Is that okay?
That works.
Let's
drive.
Let's drive.
Time brought to you by Honda BMW of Champaign. For a wide selection of new and used vehicles, check out Honda BMW of Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy, and online at drivechampaign.com. Just tuning in, you missed it in the first hour. News has come out on Io DeSumo. No structural damage to his left knee or leg. His fall late in that game last night when Illinois loses 70-69. That is very, very good news. Of course, the worst case, you were wondering, is it an ACL, MCL? Is that the last time your star is on the court this season? And it was a legit concern. It was a very gruesome. His knee, his leg buckled.
It didn't look good.
No.
I didn't really get to see, obviously, the slippage live. But watching the replay, I mean, it's not something for the faint of. I mean, it looks gross.
Yeah, and it might be a hyperextension. We're still waiting to hear more as far as details. The exact injury extent of it, and then how long he'll be out. I wouldn't be shocked, just the eye test again of that replay, if he's out for the road trip at Rutgers and Penn State, and that's something to continue to monitor. But
keep in mind that for some reason, I feel like teams, when they're without their best player, win the first game more often than not across the board. There's something about
it.
I don't know what it is. I see it all the time. I wish I had like an actual number in front of me. But just thinking back to, like, Ravonte Rice.
I was just going to say, did he break his hand? Is that what it was?
He broke his hand.
And then Maryland came to town. It was his non-shooting hand.
And then number 10, something like that, number 15, Maryland came to town, and you're thinking, we barely had a chance to beat him beforehand.
Melo Trimble, Dez Wells, I think, on that team as well.
Yeah. And you beat him.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's an Illinois example. I can think of a few that I've just casually watched as well. I don't necessarily think that Illinois is going to beat Rutgers. I don't think it's, like, impossible, though, either, which sounds funny because they're 16-0 at home. But I'm not sitting there going, well, you can scratch that one out as an L.
Yeah, no doubt. Rutgers just went to overtime at home against Northwestern.
Yep. Lost to Michigan.
Was Northwestern up big
18.
In that game?
They're up 18 in the second half of that game, yeah.
18, and we've talked about it in the recent weeks. It seems like Rutgers has the potential to fall off a little bit, where they've lost. They lost the previous two, including one on a neutral site to Michigan. Just a team that doesn't scare you offensively, and it felt like Illinois could potentially go in there. Again, that's assuming Adesumu playing.
Sure.
And they're similar styles as far as playing good defense, and maybe Illinois can outscore them. But with Illinois losing both opportunities at home to Maryland and Michigan State,
that stings.
Staring a potential 5-game losing streak in the face.
It really hurts, because you're okay with Illinois being as a part of that muck and hoping for a 3 or 4 seed, but just the fact that, even though it was maybe exceeding expectations for this year, and it definitely was, to have the potential Big Ten title essentially served to you on a silver platter with both games. I mean, what are the odds that this late in the year, you'd get the two teams right next to you in the standings for a chance to basically seal up first place, at least for the moment, and they'd both be at home? I mean, that was a random stroke of luck in Illinois' favor, and they were, unfortunately, like Brad said, they batted zero in those two matchups. Both of which, at one point, one team had a large lead and the other team came back. One in anguish. Well, they were both anguishing, quite honestly, because Illinois was up by 15 in one game and Illinois was down by 20 in the other.
Yeah, and we even looked back in the offseason and pointed as those as potential quad one wins. Mm-hmm. I don't think we expected Illinois to have four quad one wins going into those games. But even going back to Iowa City, where you led with about 4 minutes to go before that Georgie turnover. Georgia had a turnover that tied the game for Iowa, so you lose that game. You would just set yourself up, and look, barely anybody, now Penn State has done it, but not many teams are going through this league and winning seven in a row. Illinois did that. They put themselves in position to contend for the league title. Had they taken care of business at home, look, those are two very talented teams, but to be up 14 against Maryland, to be up one against Michigan State with 25 seconds to go and not come out with a win in either one of those, disappointing, and now a tough road ahead for them. But let's talk a little more macro on Michigan State. Let's talk Georgie. We've avoided it long enough. I know that obviously Iowa's the main storyline here, but fellow sophomore really struggled. 1-for-7 last night. He's been in a funk essentially all season, but it reached a new low point. I know the first half against Rutgers was terrible as well, but he was frankly horrendous in that game.
He was. I found a quote that we played the other day from Underwood that said, "Our first three possessions at Michigan State were Georgie threes. We've got to get away from that and have a different game plan this time." Well, guess what the first two possessions of this game were? Georgie missed three-pointer, Georgie missed three-pointer.
Yikes.
And I'm not saying that's on Brad, because Georgie took the three ultimately, and I'm sure that wasn't what Brad wanted him to do.
That's what Michigan State wanted him to do.
Oh, absolutely. And for some reason, the space they're giving him tempts him too much. I honestly, and I'm not trying to get hate here, but I honestly think the crowd plays a role in it, because they all sort of ooh and ah, whether it's in a good way or a bad way, when he's wide open. Mm-hmm. If Georgie's on the perimeter and he's wide open, there is a palpable in the crowd. And whether, I'm not saying that should affect him. If he's a basketball player, he should be above that affecting him. But when he's clearly in his own head like he is, probably doesn't help that the crowd is either urging him or begging him to not shoot that. But you're right. Last night was a new low for Georgie, in my opinion, because you saw the quick, I mean, it wasn't a quick yank, but he quickly got Tevian in for Georgie. And then he comes back in the second half. He was just such a negative influence on the floor last night. What was he, a minus 19?
To be minus 19 in a one-point game.
Yeah, that's...
It means Illinois was 18 points better when Georgie was on the bench. 18 points better than Michigan State when Georgie was on the bench.
Because if you think about it, in the second half when Illinois first started coming back and it was a 12-point game, Georgie wasn't on the court. Georgie comes in. It's immediately back to a 19-point game. Georgie comes out again and the comeback starts. I mean, I hate to just like put it on one guy, but he's a turnover machine. He now he's so far in his own head that he can't make a free throw or a layup. I mean, I went through the entire play-by-play of the box score. This is Georgie's entire night, okay? Missed three-pointer, missed three-pointer, missed three-pointer, committed a foul, committed a turnover, missed jumper, made a layup, committed a foul, missed free throw. That was a 1-1, so he only had one missed free throw. Committed a turnover, committed a foul, committed a turnover. That was his game.
Yikes.
There's one positive thing that I listed there in 15 things.
Made a layup. And that's been a challenge for him during this stretch. In the last three games, Illinois' three-game losing streak, he's 5-for-20 from the field, 4-for-16 from two. So we saw him last year. It was a near automatic that he was just so good with his footwork, his patience. He was going to score, it seemed like, almost 70% of the time with his left hook or right hook. But he has not had that. He's had the turnovers. He had two illegal screens last night. I thought both were good calls, especially the first one.
Yeah, I didn't think either of them were wrong.
And I know that last year he got away with not playing very good defense. And he had to play the five last year, so he was playing against Luka Garza and some bodies that were bigger than his. But Kithier got a layup. There was a stretch in the second half where Georgie goes in for 34 seconds. The ball goes past Georgie's face to Kithier for a layup.
Yes.
And at the very other end, Georgie sets another illegal screen and he's out.
Yep.
And it's just like, man, and you feel bad for him because...
What a crazy swing, right?
Yeah.
Overall. I mean, it's to the point where like the Orange Crush, and I'm not blaming him or saying like, get him out of there.
Exactly. That was the uncomfortable part of it. And Georgie has to be more dialed in, more locked in, less mistakes, obviously, but just to go from being so beloved, and he's still, I mean, he's a great dude.
Yeah,
he's really,
awesome.
Really likable.
Yeah.
But when he's checking in and the Orange Crush is muttering to himself, like, oh no, He hears it. He turns around.
That's what I mean about the crowd murmuring. Yeah.
He turns around and like smiles and tries to have an uncomfortable reaction. And Orlando's like, no, pay attention.
Yeah.
That's just where Georgie seems like sometimes is more into the entertainment or the showman value of the sport than.
Right.
I don't know.
He finished last night. KenPom has an offensive rating for every player. And to put it in perspective, if you have a good game, it's somewhere in like the 150s. If you have a decent game, it's around 100. Georgie's average this year was 57, which is not good. Last night, his offensive rating was 22. Mm. 22.
Yeah.
And an average for a good player is 100. And an average this year for Georgie, which has by all accounts been a bad year, was 57. So last night, he was like 40 points lower than what he's even been this year. The last time an Illinois player who got significant minutes in a game, I spent like 30 minutes looking this up.
I like this.
Got an offensive rating of 22 or lower was Andres Feliz against Missouri, who scored 0 points and had 3 fouls in 15 minutes of play in the Bragging Rights game. I'm not telling you anything you didn't already know, but Georgie was putrid last night.
That's just how bad it was.
Even by his standards this year.
I got a text in the text line. Wasn't Georgie great in Piscataway last year? They did not play at Rutgers, but at home, he had 35.
He broke the freshman single game record.
He had 35, but he was terrible in the first half against Rutgers here earlier this year. He ended up 3 for 12 from the field, but
that was the game where out of the timeout he airballed the three, right?
Yeah, and he missed shots early, and he continued to take more shots. But he did not start the second half against Michigan State, and you wonder if that carries over into starting the game at Rutgers or at Penn State, where Alan Griffin was slotted in and Illinois played small.
I think this was the first time you actually saw Underwood's propensity to yank him, because you hadn't really seen it before last night's game, to where you knew he was struggling, but what does Kipper give you that Georgie isn't? But now we're at a point where, like, honestly, a smaller lineup with Allen, a lineup with Tev, a lineup with Kipper is probably, if not better for you, at least not actively hindering you. And that's kind of what you're getting with Georgie right now, which is sad to say, but it's true.
I want to talk more about Tev, more about Allen, more about Trent Frazier, but I'll wrap this up real quick. This was Drive Time, brought to you by Honda BMW Champaign. For a wide selection of new and used vehicles, check out Honda BMW Champaign at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy, and online at drivechampaign.com.
Hey, we got a Stever, by the way, coming up at 5:30. I meant to mention that earlier. We'll hit on it again in a minute, but it is for Mettler Center. So at 5:30, not yet, but at 5:30, we're going to ask you to text OUCH into our text line at 359-2255. If you have pain anywhere in your shoulder, knee, back, hip, etc., Mettler Center offers physical therapy. They offer the Mettler method, which is fix something others can't. And Stevie J is offering new customers $100 if you go in for a free 30-minute consultation. So if you text in OUCH at 5:30, not yet, and you qualify, which we'll get back to you if you do, Stevie will give you $100 if you go in for a free 30-minute consultation. Maybe Georgie needs to go in. No? Too soon?
Okay. Maybe.
All right.
Maybe Io too, but we can say that. Not jokingly, but obviously we'll see with his rehab coming up. But I want to touch on Tevin Jones. Who would have thought that February 11th was the first time he hit a three in his sophomore season?
He didn't get yanked in 12 seconds, so that was something.
That was a positive. He grabbed a couple rebounds. He was -3 in the plus minus, but to be able to hit a three, how encouraged? I know that it's baby steps for him, but he's someone that as you go down the stretch and you wonder about your 3-point shooting, you wonder about playing someone else at the four that's not Georgia if he continues to struggle. How encouraged are you with just that flash you saw from Tev?
Yeah, I mean, I'm encouraged because I think he is the ultimate X factor on a team. Because, I mean, look, he went up against Bruno Fernando and Maryland last year and dunked all over him. Like, you don't just do that and then disappear forever and have a terrible collegiate career.
We wondered if it would happen.
We did. And I mean, honestly, it still could.
It could,
but,
yeah.
But the fact that, I know the quick hook, I'm sure he didn't like it, where, you know, he'd get in for 20 seconds. But honestly, he'd get in for 20 seconds and make a mistake, and then Brad would yank him. But now it's to the point where Tevian making one mistake is far more advisable than Georgie making 10. Right. And I still think that Tevian gives you the length. He's got some 3-point shooting in him, obviously, to where, I don't hate playing him more, especially if your options are Kipper and Tev behind Georgie.
I just think you have to be more willing to let him play through some mistakes.
Agreed.
And you got to have there's some decision making or feeling that out. But obviously, Georgie's been able to play through a lot of them. And it's been continued to be proven that he's going to make a lot of mistakes. And Tev, just to get confidence and to be able to make one and not look to the bench immediately, I think would do a lot for someone that we talk so much about going into the season for good reason, because he has the offensive upside. And Tev has put himself in a not a great situation, but down the stretch, he's someone that if he was able to emerge and just be hit a couple of threes and grab a couple of rebounds, that could go a long way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's all you can ask for him right now. Michael texted in, what about Jermaine Hamlin? Not to start, obviously, but he had a couple of good possessions last night, which is more than Georgie had. Well, that's true.
It is true.
I mean, that's more so you just purely need size for 30 seconds, right?
Right.
That's sort of the same thing with Tyler Underwood, not size, but just it's the last minute of the half. Several people are in foul trouble. I need to get somebody in there.
Yes. He has the size to try to go straight up with his length against somebody at the other end. They're five-man versus Georgie, who, again, isn't great defensively, but Jermaine Hamlin's not very good on the glass. He's fouled a lot. And he doesn't provide much offensive value. So I don't look to him as someone that you try to play a lot.
Sure. Ken asked one strategy question. Why was Alan Griffin on the floor during the last defensive possession, Tillman's tip dunk, and not DeMonte?
Yeah, I've seen that been asked by a couple of people.
Because ultimately, if you look at the film, it was Alan who, for some reason, decided to add like a third hand towards
from the other side of the rim.
Right, which, I mean, I don't really understand. I mean, I get it. You're desperate. It's the last shot of the game. You want to do anything you can to make sure it doesn't go in. But at the same time, you can't just abandon all the other people you're supposed to be defending to make sure that shot doesn't go in.
It was a play that showed some youth and still some inexperience because he was on the other side of the rim. Kofi is trying to help Trent, who gets beat by Cassius. I thought Kofi defended it about as well as he could have. But Allen's responsibility then is to put a body on Tillman, who's crashing from the perimeter. I know that in the moment, Alan just tries to challenge. But yes, DeMonte, obviously more physical than Alan and a veteran that maybe knows to make that play. But Alan was all over the glass in that game.
He was. Yeah, he pulled down several.
So for him to have 7 rebounds in 25 minutes and a 4 at the offensive end, I think that that's probably why he's out there.
He and Andres are two guys that can seemingly pull down a rebound at any given moment when they probably shouldn't have any business doing so.
Right.
Which is obviously a positive. Why can't Tevian move side to side? He's so bad defensively. That's
slow
a 217
feet.
Text.
Slow feet. And that's one of the things we've learned, because I think when you saw him, his highlight clips or even coming in, you saw the athleticism, because he north and south moves really well. He can elevate vertically. But one thing that now we found out is going side to side with his feet, he's just something that he can't do that well.
And finally, Lily asks, what is the starting lineup, in your opinion, without Io right now?
Andres, Trent, Allen, and Allen, DeMonte, Kofi?
I mean,
is that what you go with?
That's what I do. Last night, if you sub out, obviously, DeMonte had Io in there, I thought that was your best lineup, the one you just listed.
Right.
I mean, I just, even though it's smaller, I don't really care if it's smaller if Georgie is just a turnover machine and a momentum killer, right? Like,
I think it's just, and maybe not even sending a message, which I think part of it could be that, just a mental reset. Like, hey, man, you got to figure it out. We've got to try something differently.
Yeah.
And that would give you Georgie off the bench, Kipper off the bench, Tev off the bench, and Hamlin.
Mm-hmm. Brad was asked about Georgie's mentality last night after the game.
Throughout Georgie's time, we try to find that perfect balance, and you know, we've seen Georgie at his very best, and right now things are a little tougher for him, and you can try too hard, you can put too much pressure on yourself, and you know, we've got to get him back in a position to help our ball team down the stretch.
We'll hear more from Brad Underwood when we come back. We also have a Mettler Center Stever. New customers can get $100 for a free 30-minute consultation at the Mettler Center. We will give that out when we come back. This is The Drive.
I had a lady that was in her mid-70s, and I'd sold her timeshare, and that was the lowest I'd ever felt in my life. I knew then that I had to do something to simply not to go to hell for selling timeshare.
Chuck McDowell founded Wesley Financial Group to help folks cancel their timeshares permanently.
called her and everybody that I had sold timeshare to, and I said, this is what I said to you that was a lie, and this is what you need to do to cancel your timeshare. From that point, people started referring friends to me to help them cancel a timeshare, and that's how it all started. I fought the world's largest timeshare company in federal court. If I had lost that lawsuit, there would be no one helping people that have been lied to when they bought timeshare. If we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or we'll give your money back. That's what makes us different.
Call Wesley Financial Group now for a free information kit. 800-618-1414. That's 800-618-1414. 800-618-1414.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
At Honda BMW of Champaign, they've got the widest variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for you to choose from. Each of their pre-owned vehicles have undergone a rigorous and thorough inspection to ensure the highest quality for you. How could you go wrong at Honda BMW of Champaign? Visit them at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy, online at drivechampaign.com, or call 356-0303. DriveChampaign.com.
This is Eric Boland with Provident Financial Group. As independent financial advisors, we can help ensure you're following a strategy that makes sense, no matter what the market is doing. Take control of your financial life with a complimentary consultation. We will help create a plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 3017 Village Office Place in Champaign, or call 217-366-3456, or find us online at ProvidentFinancialGroupLLC.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
The Champaign County Forest Preserve District offers lots of great winter fun. Their educational programs will teach you about owls, how to make maple syrup, woodcocks, and more. Outside offers sledding at Homer Lake, cross-country skiing, trail hikes, and ice fishing. On clear nights, head to Middle Fork River Forest Preserve in Penfield to check out the stars. You'll be amazed with views at Illinois' first international dark sky park. Go to ccfpd.org to see all they have to offer for you to get closer to nature this winter. Trent Meacham, Executive Relationship Director, Cozad Asset Management.
As a former Illini and professional basketball player, I understand the importance of preparing a game plan in order to gain an advantage on the court. We take the same approach with clients to help them establish an advantageous financial plan in any economic condition. Please give me a call as I'd love to visit with you. Thanks and go Illini.
Securities offered through M Holdings Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer. Member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Cozad Asset Management, Inc. Cozad Asset Management is independently owned and operated.
You're moving into a new neighborhood. It's important to make a good first impression. Is this what you want move-in day to be? The professional movers at Two Men in a Truck know your new neighbors are watching. From their kitchen window, they're sizing you up. Make a good first impression. Hire professional movers that are background checked and drug tested. TwoMenChampaign.com. That's a smart move.
Talking with Ron Bailey, owner of the Blossom Basket Florist. Ron, what separates your flowers from some you might find at the grocery store?
Our flowers are usually about 3 days out of the field in South America. When we get them in with their cold storage all the way here, we guarantee the quality on them. They should last a long time. I have customers call me all the time and say that our flowers lasted 2 weeks. And we process them, put preservatives in the water. We have the highest quality flowers that you can find.
Please visit the Blossom Basket Florist online at blossombasket.com. Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Let me tell you about CMI, Chemical Maintenance Incorporated. They know that your business needs help with cleaning walkways and parking lots and keeping them free of ice. Stay winter ready with ice melt products from CMI, and don't forget to check out Trax Buster to help remove the white film that the white film that the ice melt causes indoors. It will protect and extend the life of your floor. That's important, and keep it looking shiny and new. Find out all about their products at cmiclean.com or give them a call at 217 317-359-6262. That's 217-359-6262.
You're probably going to need some ice melt soon based on the way it's looking outside right now. All right. It is 529 and 50 seconds, which means in 10 seconds. Nice. You can do it now. You can text in OUCH to 217-359-2255. Mettler Center is our Stever offer of the day. If you have pain in your shoulder, knee, back, hip, etc., Mettler Center offers physical therapy, and they offer something called the Mettler Method, which is fix something that others can't. And Stevie J is offering new customers $100 for a free 30-minute consultation. So if you have not been to Mettler Center before and you have pain and want to go in for a free, harmless 30-minute consultation, if you do so, Stevie J will offer you $100 as a part of the Stever program. Text in OUCH to our text line right now, and we'll get back to you tomorrow as to whether or not you qualify. You'll need to get the consultation set up within 7 days, but when you do, just come back in and you'll get your $100 for going to Mettler Center. We're playing all the Hans D favorites now.
I like it. Forgot about Dre. No one forgets about Andres Feliz with the way he's been playing.
He's been really good lately.
Yes.
After basically a month where it seemed like he didn't even score, he's been almost your go-to guy other than Io in the last few games.
The way he's going, if Trent's able to step up, that's one guy that we didn't touch on.
Are you concerned about Trent at all?
I am a little bit. I still have faith in him that he can get it going, because obviously he's shown that when he's making shots from the outside, he can be a difference maker for you. But he did not play well in the homestand against Michigan State and Maryland. 2-for-12 from the field combined in those games. We talked about it leading into Michigan State, but he was passive in the Maryland game. And last night, he didn't play very well. He was 1-of-8 from the field and didn't think he was great on defense. I know he had some steals, but he got beat by Cassius a number of times.
He did. And honestly, more so than the 2-for-12 in terms of a percentage, I just wish I'd see more shots.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd almost prefer 2-for-20 than 2-for-12 and just be like, well, he chucked 9 threes a game and that for some reason they didn't go in.
We mentioned that there are times where Foster Lawyer's on the court. Just attack that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He had one drive where he banked it in off the window.
Yeah.
But other than that, and other than that, it just didn't seem like he, more so than anyone else against that Maryland zone. And I think again last night, even though Michigan State didn't zone him up, just looked like he did not want to get in the paint at all for whatever reason.
Right. And when he's able to get to the free throw line, I know he's not physically built like Andres Feliz, but that adds another layer to Illinois' offense, and that clearly takes pressure off of Io, Andres, and even Kofi. So I think that's a major key going forward. I mentioned going into last night's game, Trent and Georgie were the two that I was looking for. We talked all about Georgie. We heard from Brad Underwood about Georgie before the break, but let's hear from Brad on what he saw. Io's injury, Io did not have structural damage to his left knee, but here's what Brad saw on that last play.
You get a knot in your stomach when you have one of your guys go down. I've had it twice in 2 days. You guys, insignificant to any of you guys in here, but Zach Griffin has a stress fracture and is out. And if you guys know how important Zach is, you can ask Kofi, because he busts Kofi's ass every single day in practice and Georgie's ass every single day. He's out with a stress fracture. And I know how hard that kid works. And then obviously, you know, Io's slipping here at the end. We don't know anything. We won't know anything. We're not going to release anything until we do know something. And they're in the great hands of our medical staff here. You know, when you get something like that happens, the game becomes secondary.
That's Brad Underwood, who mentioned Zach Griffith had a stress fracture, but...
Okay. I mean, I'm sorry for Zach, and I know that he obviously is important in practice. It seemed like a really random moment to mention that, but maybe he was kind of startled after what just happened. I don't know.
Yeah, and you could see the look on his face, on Kofi's face last night, that they were just pretty shaken and dejected having to face the media then after, again, wondering if your star was going to play the rest of the season. We're assuming he's going to, and that's great news for the Illini. But Brad also talked about the game, and now we're able to dive more into that, knowing Io's, or a little bit more about Io's future, but not a very good start at all. down 37-20, roar back from 20 down. Here's what Brad saw in the game.
I have yet to figure out why we can't play hard. And we do that at times. Our team walked in before the game, and I literally asked the coaches after they left, and I said, are we ready? I said, because it was almost like a somber funeral in the game before. Before the Maryland game, we were probably too high. We were through the roof. We played like it in the first half, not to take anything away from Michigan State. But the second half was a different story. We rode with the guys that we felt great about and that were playing. I don't know. The spacing was good. We were flowing. We were doing a lot of positive things. But anyway, that was Cassius does what Cassius does. He rejects a ball screen, which we try not to allow. And Kofi had to help, and that left Tillman wide open.
I don't know if I got the sense that it looked like they were at a funeral when they came out. To me, it seemed more like it was just
getting outplayed,
poor play than an effort thing. But obviously, Brad sees more than we do. So
yeah, I haven't gone back and watched the game. Just felt like obviously Michigan State was outplaying you. There was a different level of energy and intensity coming out of halftime.
Definitely.
And I can only imagine what was said in that locker room during that point. But it also had something to do with the fact that, let's be honest, Georgie wasn't on the court for a lot of that stretch where you made your run. But, yeah, I just felt like Michigan State was outplaying you. They were getting stops. You were taking some ill-advised shots and not really getting good looks with your offense. You tried to run the spread. You tried to run the weave. And Illinois' best offense, or how they necessarily got going in the second half, was Michigan State would turn it over and got going in transition. So
Izzo called them turnovers for touchdowns, and that definitely felt like, I mean, there was a string there where Trent got a steal, Allen got a steal, and then Io got a steal, and then Io, frankly, should have gotten another steal on that ridiculous foul call. And that almost seemed like your best offense, and it was certainly, if not the best offense, if nothing else, the best momentum that you could ride, because there's nothing like, for a crowd at least, a turnover that leads to points.
Yeah, and now you wonder, with Io potentially being out for some extent of time, what you'd go to offensively. Are you going to run more spread? Is that what you're going to lean on mostly? Because, or I mean, you can run the pick and roll. It's just Io has been the guy that's been doing it, and he's had the ball in his hands to make the decisions. To
it seems like he's made the right decision like 98% of the time on those plays.
A lot of the time, finding Kofi on the roll or Trent on the flash up high, or obviously getting to his pull up game or on the drive. So that's going to be interesting to follow. But going into the game, I wondered, I think everybody wondered, and the crowd wasn't at the same level early as Maryland, because I think they needed to see it. They were still a little shaken by the Maryland
result.
Well,
we needed to see it, and then it was immediately like 10-0 Michigan State, and that was not encouraging.
Right. And you wonder, from Illinois' perspective, how would they bounce back? Because they've had to bounce back in the past, but just the magnitude of that game and now the expectations on their plate, they haven't necessarily had to deal with those circumstances combined yet.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's an adverse situation. I'm interested to see how they respond, because while it is true that teams seem to have a sort of a scrappy comeback mentality when one of their best players goes down, the way and the form in which it happened has me a little bit concerned, just like you said, because it was just such a air out of the building moment. And those guys were obviously kind of visibly shook by it. Obviously, I don't think they'll still be visibly shook by it, especially with this news by Saturday. But there's a little bit of a, crap, look what just happened. That's hard to ignore. I mean, it's just human to do that, right? If the captain of your team essentially goes down. So I am interested to see how they respond, if more players. Because honestly, right now, it feels like Andres is the guy that kind of grabs the reins and says, because that's what he's done.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if Trent sort of takes over like that, if Kofi can have a monster game. I'm interested to see how the role players respond to a potentially increased role with Io out.
Yeah. Trent is going to have to, you don't want him to play hero ball too much, but he's going to have to step up.
If he does what he did against Gonzaga, I'm also not going to complain,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Or the first 2 years of bragging rights. And I think you want to see him take 10 plus shots if Io is indeed going to be out at Rutgers, at Penn State, and further on. Brad was asked about Io being out, how you adjust from that. He mentioned more being on the plate of Andres and Kipper and everything. I want to hear from him about Allen and Tev specifically need to step up, potentially with Georgie's struggles continuing.
Well, we've been messing with it a lot in practice. That's something that we've been trying to create space, trying to free Kofi up a little bit, to be honest, and try to free driving lanes. I think you saw tonight what we can do driving the basketball. There's a ton of ways to get the ball to the front of the rim. And it doesn't always have to be through a post up. You can do it cutting. You can do it driving it. I love the fact we got to the line 25 times tonight, and that was something that we've tried to emphasize. So, yeah, it definitely wasn't Georgie's best night, and we had to change something because that wasn't working.
I'm all for starting Allen. If nothing else, I think he needs to get 25 plus minutes a game.
Yep.
Because where else are those minutes going if you're subtracting essentially 40 from Io? I mean, you got to divvy up those minutes somewhere, no.
And
Kipper had a weird hook shot that actually went in last night, and it looked really bad, but it was, I don't know.
That was during a part of the game where you're down, what, 15 to 16?
It was a forgettable stretch.
Running hook in the lane. Yeah. It was like, oh, that's a good shot.
Not much else came from that. He missed the three, and big surprise there.
I was kind of surprised that he wasn't the first off the bench when Georgie got the hook.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Tevian essentially be the auto replace for Georgie.
So it makes you wonder, too, what Brad said, if Tev's making the strides in practice, which, again, would be a big positive for this team. Allen Griffin, since coming back from suspension, does what he does, provides energy. He gave you 9 points, seven rebounds. He drew five fouls. Had two steals.
Yeah, he just makes those plays. Like, there was the offensive rebound he grabbed when he was kind of shoved out of bounds and a foul was called. Just stuff like that, that while it seems like, okay, good play, I don't really think many other guys are going to make that play. Like, he's just doing stuff that he's irreplaceable in that role, I think, in terms of grabbing a random offensive rebound, doing the little things, pumping the crowd up. He's a high energy guy. He's sort of got that Georgie mentality of high energy, always keep a positive attitude. Not to the level that Georgie's embraced it to, obviously, but
sure. He's
just making the plays. Like I said, that offensive rebound when he was fouled out of bounds, he's a great shooter from the line. Well, actually, he's not, but he made two after that. So, if he can continue to do that, I think that is a hard role to even measure because it's super important to have a guy like that on your team.
Yeah, and that would be, it's been discussed even before Georgie reaches this new low, whether you want Allen just because of the spark he provides out of the gate. If you want him in your starting lineup, I think that now that might be the expectation that he's starting in Piscataway on Saturday. But he takes four shots last night. Maybe this is a guy with Io out that needs to take seven or eight or nine.
It is interesting that it's seemingly at the same point of the season all of a sudden, two-fifths of your starting lineup look like they may not be in your starting lineup anymore, one for performance and one for injury, after really not having any alterations to the starting lineup for months.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't hate it on a three-game losing streak going into a hostile environment at a place where the home team's 16-0. Maybe you need to shake it up,
And what's been one of the primary themes for Illinois this season as far as success is adjustments.
Yep.
Brad Underwood with his defense, changed offensively. Players have had to take on new roles, adapting roles with added talent on the roster. Now, this is, I know it's not as big of change as it could have been with Io if he was out for the year, but making another adjustment with Io being hurt, and now Georgie's struggles will be the key for where Illinois goes from here. So we will hear from Scott Van Pelt, who was in Champaign on Friday, told some funny stories apparently about Papa Dells, and that was cool to see, a cool scene him here in Champaign. So he talked about Champaign on his podcast. We'll hear from that when we come back. This is The Drive.
Farmers are the backbone of our communities. At Prospect Bank, we cultivate relationships that help ensure our farmers have the tools they need for a bountiful harvest. I'm Matt Hoos, and as the Chief Agribusiness Officer at Prospect Bank, I'll put my years of experience to work for you and your operation. Get the conversation started by calling 217-896-2423. Opportunities are waiting for you. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Mower, car, ATV, boat, truck, weed eater. All of your toys has a battery in it, and you want to be able to get on without worrying if that machine is going to power up. at Interstate All Battery Center in Champaign. They do batteries and will hook you up with the battery that will make your machine purr once again. So whether it's hitting the party cove in your boat, having the best looking lawn in your neighborhood, hitting the backwoods, or going to work, Interstate Batteries will power you through the day and weekend. So head on in to Interstate All Battery Center in Champaign on Mattis Avenue.
PDR Automotive in Urbana encourages all of their customers to be aware of their vehicle's regular service needs. Performing maintenance repairs at scheduled intervals can extend the life of your car or truck. Let the terrific technicians at PDR examine your vehicle at least twice a year. PDR will design a preventative maintenance plan specific to you and your vehicle needs. Go see John Marshall. Go to PDRauto.com. Or call 367-9481 for more details. It's the Jeremy Warner Show. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 93.5.
The Drive, Derek Piper, Trevor Elise. About to hear from Scott Van Pelt, SVP. He's the man.
He's got a new podcast called SV Pod. It's not SVP Pod, it's combined.
Mm-hmm. Him and Stamper Steve,
yep. And he does it every week. And I was curious if he would mention it because it was, you know, sort of a notable thing that he was making a trip out here.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it was kind of a big deal. And obviously, if you were there, you saw him standing. He calls it in the podcast like he was Santa at the mall because the line was like 45 minutes long with every Orange Crush member, and he obliged. But he's got some good stories about a run-in with a State Farm Center security guard, about Papa Del's Pizza. So I just thought it was worth playing as sort of a nice high note to end the show on, if that's okay with you.
I can't wait. Let's play it.
Shout out to the people in Champaign.
Yeah.
I went out there last week. That place, as advertised.
Yeah. Right?
It was, so it's the biggest.
It's snowing outside when you're walking in, and it's just like a
it wasn't,
Barney.
It wasn't, what's a Barney?
Barn heat.
Oh,
like, you know, like that.
No. It was not snowing on the way in. It was snowing on the way out. Oh. But it was for first place. They had lost on the road against Iowa, and they hadn't played all week long. So all week long, they're looking at Friday night. Here comes Maryland.
Tweeting you.
Whoever wins is in first place in the league. Friday night game. I want to say they never had a Friday night game there. I don't know if that's true or false. But whatever the case is, you walk in there, and it was on. And that building is fantastic. They redid it. It is loud as hell. Everybody's in orange. And we had been joking on television and on social media, hey, I'm coming to town. So I walk in, and like the students, they heckle me. They boo me. But then I swear to God, I took a picture with every kid in the student section. I just lined up like Santa at the mall. And every kid that came up was kind, polite, thanked me for coming.
Sober?
No, they serve beer in that joint.
Oh, my Lord. See, it all makes sense.
I was there early. I was there early.
Okay.
But kids are double fisting aggressively throughout. But everybody, like, they thanked me for coming. A lot of kids took the opportunity to tell me that, hey, we're sorry for what's going to happen in the next 2 hours.
It was 28-14.
And it was as loud as a building gets. And then the Terps didn't blink. They, you know, punched their way off the ropes. They were able to get a win. And it was neat because there was a very small little group that was there, and yeah. we walked off the floor with them down that tunnel, and you would know this having lived it, having actually been the one in the uniform, not the old guy just cheering. What's better than going into a hostile environment where the stakes are significant and silencing a crowd like that?
Nothing.
There really isn't.
Nothing.
And so we're in this tunnel, and they're going berserk, and it was the coolest thing. And then my favorite part of the night is all of the guys went into the locker room, and then I went to go in the locker room. And a statey, I don't know if they call them that in Illinois, but a policeman.
In uniform.
Oh, yeah. Says to me, where's your pass? I said, no, it's good. I'm with them. Sir? I said, yeah.
Just keep walking.
He goes, where's your credential? I said, I really don't have a credential so much as I, well, then you need to leave right now. I said, no, I'm just going to go in here. Sir? You're not listening to me. I will put you in handcuffs, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, put the hands up, like, you know.
My wallet's in my pocket. Get the ID out.
Trying to, I wasn't going to do you know who I am, because he clearly didn't. And by the way, it didn't matter to him. Thank God there was a Maryland manager that was walking right there, and he's like, can I just give him my pass? He's with us. He's like, no. He's like, well, we have other ones. So he goes and gets them. And there was this really tense moment where I did that thing I do, where I was passively, aggressively smiling at him, not saying a word, but I was eyeballing him like, hey, buddy, you. And I didn't say it with my mouth, but I was saying it with my smile, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to be you, and you're going to try to flex on me with the, like, clearly that we were just jumping up and down with the team. Like, I didn't just wander here aimlessly. And by the way,
you have a Maryland shirt on.
I understand that. And as I'm standing there, and this guy's eyeballing me, here comes a parade of people out in Illinois gear asking if we can take pictures together. So I'm standing there with the cop. I'm taking pictures with the people. This guy didn't care. He doesn't care. He's waiting until I get a thing. I get my thing, and now I've got the proper credentials, and then I smile at the gentleman. I say, thank you so much for your hospitality. Walk into the locker room. We say our goodbyes. We get on one of them planes, and we skedaddle out of Champagne with the W in our back pocket.
Nice.
That's how you do it. If you're gonna make a power move and try to make moves and get to Champagne, you need to get a win. Oh, wait. Papa Dell's.
Yeah?
Pizza joint. I don't want to encroach on anybody's. I don't do pizza reviews. That's somebody else's.
I love this. So you're out and you're thanking. I like this. We got to get you out more.
Well, look, when you go to a place, what's the place? And I had an inside source that told me you got to go to Papa Dell's.
Okay,
I'll go to Papa Dell's. I like a deep dish pie as much as anybody. Well, at Papa Dell's.
There's one thing I don't like about deep dish pizza. Go ahead.
It tells you on the menu that it takes an hour and 15 minutes for the thing to be made.
Bingo.
And I said, where I'm from, pizza doesn't cost, it doesn't take an hour and 15, man. We got a short time here. Game's tipping. So, but we order. And it's like, we're an hour deep, and they're like, it's going to be at least another 45. I'm like, where?
Liars.
I think they were backed up. It was game day traffic. Biggest game in however many years. And so the long and the short of it is, we settle up. I'm like, we can't wait. Like, just give it to whoever. We'll pay for it. I mean, we ordered it. We'll pay for it. Just give it to somebody else. There's a guy in a Terp shirt that's there, and he was with a guy in an Illinois shirt. In exchange for pictures, we got slices. But let me tell you, it's a sausage pie. It's very good. It was one slice. I wanted way more. I was starving. But one slice of that, a second would have incapacitated me. Like, it is, there's a lot happening there.
There's a lot going on in there.
Thick, doughy, but not gross dough.
Cheesy.
Very cheesy. Sausagey. I'm pro Papa Dell's. You just got to figure out your oven situation. You got to get them.
Expand.
Hotter ovens, or you need more ovens so that the hour and 15 doesn't turn into 2 hours, because ain't nobody got 2 hours to wait on a friggin' pizza. So there you go. That was the Illinois trip.
I like that.
That was as good as I thought it would be.
He kept it real. I mean, obviously, he had a problem with a security guard, and he had a problem with the Papa Dell's oven. But I don't. I see where he's coming from.
Should have pulled out the ID.
Pull out
the driver's license.
When you're Scott Van Pelt, you kind of have to drop a "Do you know who I am?"
Or
right?
The go on your phone and click on your Twitter profile.
That too.
Yeah. I've had to do that when I don't have a media credential.
Interesting. Okay, but see, you don't have the blue check mark.
I don't have any of what he's got.
Yeah, right.
But just...
No, you're right. I mean, if you can Google image and have a million things come up right away or go to your Twitter, you're probably a decently verified person.
Who knows? Maybe you ran into a policeman that doesn't... Maybe he works nights. He doesn't flip on sports.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's watching, or he's clearly not a sports fan, whoever that was, because he's a pretty recognizable dude. He's like 6 foot... What, how tall is he? He's a tall guy.
He's got to be at least 6'5", 6'6".
Something like that, yeah. I mean, he stands out in a crowd for sure. I just thought it was funny how people are taking pictures with him, asking, oh my gosh, can I take a picture with you?
Oh, he had the perfect comp, right. Santa at the mall.
Yes. He was basically Santa at the mall, and he did. He took every picture.
Oh, he was so gracious.
But it was fun to hear him say Champagne is as much as it's
hyped
up to be. You know, everybody was nice. I love
the loud
pizza.
As a building can be.
It's nice to get some validation like that, because I think the building's loud. You think the building's loud, but we don't go to Kentucky and Duke. And we don't host the biggest ESPN show out there, which all fan bases tune into. So to hear him say it,
right.
It's kind of nice validation, right?
We either have experienced it in the past, or we've heard stories about it, or we tell stories
right.
to people that haven't experienced it. And now that he has been there, you know that when he's broadcast or he's recapping a game on SportsCenter, he has something to go on.
Yes.
And obviously he's heard about what Champaign has been in the past, but very cool to localize something, someone that's on the national stage.
It's just weird to hear those words come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Talking about Champaign and Papadels, like, that's not a voice you'd expect to hear. It's, you know, it'd be like, I don't know, Anderson Cooper or somebody just stopping by and saying, ah, Papadels is great. Like, it's just weird. It's someone that's so high profile that you'd never assume that their bubble would ever infringe on yours, and it was cool to have him have a positive experience. Maybe it was just because Maryland won. Maybe he would have dumped on Champaign if Maryland lost.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think so, though.
But at least he saw a good game, good atmosphere.
That's true. And as he did point out, it's fun to go on the road and celebrate a win.
Illinois knows about that.
They do, yeah.
And to have your two biggest celebrities in your last two games be Van Pelt and Darren Williams, not bad.
Not bad at all.
When you're good, things like that happen.
They will come.
Right. Good show today. Talked all about Iowa Dasumu, Illinois basketball, where they go from here after dropping three straight. Road trip coming up. We've got to thank Brad Evans. Good stuff on their tournament resume, what they need to do if Io is out. We had Brad Underwood audio, Tom Izzo, and thanks to Scott Van Pelt for his stories because that was hilarious.
There you go.
Good show. We'll talk to you tomorrow. This is The Drive. This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampaign.com for a free estimate.